My sermon title today is Let the Conflict Begin. The last couple of weeks, I have made a statement that I want to clarify. And that statement, it was and is that in America, we are living in post-Christianity. Now let me clarify, and if I talk a little bit about the generations. In the greatest generation, they were the ones that were born before 1928. Church attendance for them was 56%. The silent generation are those that were born between 1928 and 1945. Their church attendance dropped to 44%. The boomers that were born between 1946 and 1964, it dropped to 32% with church attendance. Generation X, it dropped to 27%. In the millennials, it dropped to 18%. Generation Z are those that were born between 1996 and 2015. They are twice as likely to be atheist than any other generation. This country was founded on godly biblical principles. And our founding fathers, even though many of them may not have been Christians, this country was built on a biblical worldview. Our laws were and are biblically based. Growing up, I lived in a Christianized society. And even those that did not go to church, they respected the Bible, they respected God, and they respected His standards. And if you remember back when I did, if you wanted to get gas, you better get it on Saturday afternoon because you weren't going to get it on Sunday morning. You weren't going to go to the store on Sunday. You weren't going to go to Casey's. In fact, there wasn't a Casey's that you could go to. There were no school activities on Sunday. There were no school activities held on a Wednesday as well. Why? Because Wednesday was a church night. The godly principles of the church drove society. Today, the opposite is taking place. The ungodly principles of society is driving the church. No matter your lifestyle, no matter how you want to live, no matter how you want to believe, no matter what you want to do, there is a church that is close to you that will receive you. The church today, instead of having a biblical worldview, it has a worldview that sits on atheism and secular humanism. So no, we do not live in a Christianized society today. We are living in a nation that is post-Christianity. So what is the problem? The church today does not believe the word. It does not preach the word. It does not teach the word. If we proclaim the truths of the Bible, there will be a conflict. And the church is saying today, we don't want any conflict. We want to accept you just the way you are, and we will make adjustments to our church. We will make adjustments to our belief. We will make adjustments to our standard so we can fill more of our church seats up today. So everything that is accepted in society within 10 years is accepted within the church. Christianity is based. Now listen to me. Christianity is based on conflict. Conflict in the soul of the unbeliever and conflict in the heart of society. The Christmas messages are always surrounded by joy to the world, peace on earth, and the nativity scene, as they should be. But there's one more sermon that I did not get to at Christmas time that I want to reach out and share with you today. So today is a Christmas story. So turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I apologize earlier for my throat, what it was doing during song service. I didn't have any problem in the morning. I didn't have any problem when I got here to church and teaching Sunday school. But then I felt the attack of the adversary and the stinging of my throat to try to stop us from singing, to try to stop us from worshiping. You need to recognize the adversary is live and he's real today, and you need to walk in divine healing every day of your life, putting your trust in the Word of God. Amen? Amen. You need to put your trust in the Word of God. Walk in that divine healing. On Wednesday, on Wednesday study, I was talking to Jim afterwards. I was talking to Ginger, and I said, you know what? You guys haven't been good for 3 months. It seems like you get better, and then you get sick, and then you get better, and then you get sick. There's things that God wants you to do in this church. There's things that you want to do in this church. You want to be involved, and I believe that it's nothing but the attack of the adversary on your life, and we're going to pray, we're going to anoint you with oil, and it is going to be gone in the name of Jesus. And Jim gave his testimony this morning. Walk in that divine healing and that trust that you got not in what I'm saying, but in the living Word of God. It's alive, it's a real. Amen. So, Lord, Satan, you might as well get back. I'm going to preach this sermon. You're not going to bother my throat because God's Word is going to go out. So, in Luke chapter 2, verse 21. Luke chapter 2, verse 21, and when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of Jesus, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now, when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens a womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. So we stop there. Jesus' parents brought him to the temple to be circumcised on the 8th day. Let's go to verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and he was devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see the death before he had seen the Lord Jesus. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought into the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms, and he blessed God and said. But in verse 26 it says this, and it had been revealed to him, revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit had revealed this to Simeon, that he would not see death before he seen the Lord's return. Saying of God, if God has told you something in the Spirit that you will see, then you need to stand on it, and you need to believe it, and you need to walk in it, that God's will be done. I believe totally in my spirit that someday we will see our son Brandon come back to his relationship in the Heavenly Father. And if you think I'm going to let go of that, you're wrong. I'm going to hang on to it till I leave this earth. I believe that someday that we're going to be preaching and we're going to be praising God, and there's going to be a mist in the church, and it's going to be a mist of the Holy Spirit that's going to be falling in this place. I'm hanging on to that. When God tells you something by the Spirit in your heart and in your life, you do not let go of it, but you cling to it. You stand on it. You believe it. You trust that God's will is going to be done, because thus saith the Lord. Amen? Amen. Simeon hung on to that. He was not going to let go of it. The Holy Spirit had told him, and it was just like he read it out of a book. This is written, and this is going to be done. Simeon believed that, and he hung on to that. In verse 34, it says, then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, now listen to the words, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many of Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Meaning many in Israel would reject Jesus. They would reject the Christ. Then we go on to verse 35. He says, yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Mary would see her own son crucified on the cross. It would be a piercing of her own heart. The truth of Christ, will you accept or will you reject? The truth is like a sword. It pierces even the hardest of heart. And we read this scripture in CE this morning, and we're going to go to it now. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. In Hebrews 4, verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirits and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." The truth cuts to the heart. It brings conflict. Do I accept or do I reject? When you come to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there was a conflict that was in your heart. There was a conflict in your being of whether you accepted the truth or whether you rejected the truth, of whether you believed in Jesus or you did not believe in Jesus. Do I go on living life as I am living? Or do I live my life in the way of the cross, because my life, what I'm living right now, is not working. This life I am living is not working today. So there's a conflict within my soul. Jesus brings conflict. Jesus didn't bring peace. He brought a sword. And he wants to cut to the very sharpest heart of our lives to change us, to mold us into the image of Jesus. But that conflict is there. To accept Christ or to reject Christ, there are only two options. You're either saved or you're unsaved. You're either born, you're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. And the choice is yours today of whether you accept or, excuse me, or whether you reject. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, we go over to verse 32. Matthew 10, verse 32. And he says in verse 32, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father and mother more than he does is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me, he is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And the truth must always be proclaimed in love, but the truth will bring opposition. It will bring division. It will bring persecution. You may very well face the opposition within your own family, even within your own home. If you decide to make the decision to follow Jesus, if you decide to follow Him and not follow the way of the world, it will bring opposition. But out of opposition comes truth. Out of opposition comes clarity. Out of opposition comes salvation. And we must be willing to stand up, Christians, as never before. I know within my heart, if the Lord will tarry, someday you will come and visit Pastor Leo in the jail, because I'll be preaching the truth, and this world is against the truth. It does not want to hear the truth. But we must never stop preaching the truth and lifting up the name of Jesus. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter and chapter 4. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. In verse 12 it says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened. But rejoice to the extent that you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceedingly joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and God rests upon you. On their part He is blasphemed, but on your part He is glorified." Now turn with me to Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1 and verse 1. In verse 1 it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." If you stand on this truth, you will face conflict. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. If you stand on this truth, you will face conflict. In verse 27, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them." If you stand on this truth, you will face conflict. If you go to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his own wife, and they shall become one flesh." If you stand on this truth, you will face conflict, because that is the world that we live in today. If you turn with me to Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that what may be known of God is manifest to them, for God has shown it to them." Verse 20, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Every man, every human being knows that they need God. I want to say that again. Every human being knows that they need God. But what do they do with it? They suppress it. They justify it. What their belief is, what they're thinking, or how they think. They choose not to deal with it. How many people do you know that live in the world today that want to talk about death? I'm not afraid to talk about death. You're not afraid to talk about death. By what we'd say in CE, your better years are ahead, your best years are ahead of you. They're not behind you. I don't care if you're 89, 95, or 105. Your best years in the Lord Jesus are ahead of you. I'm not afraid to talk about death. And neither are you, because of your faith, what is founded in the truth of the Scripture, in the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the world of an unbelieving world, they don't want to talk about death. They want to talk about how you can preserve your life to live forever. And we know that that's impossible. In verse 28 it says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to debased mind to do the things which are not fitting." In everyone's life, we have a motor of self-justification. And when you stick the sword of truth into the motor of justification in your heart, it brings conflict. Made me think that when I was doing this sermon, when I was learning how to drive, and it used to be everyone learned how to drive on a stick shift. And a lot of people had stick shifts. Maybe some of you still do. But in driving a stick shift, if you were just learning, once in a while, you're going to grind the gears. And you remember the old saying? The old saying was, "Don't worry about that. They're going to make them out of rubber next year." Too many people have rubber gears in their heart. And they aren't hearing the grinding the truth makes when the sword of the Spirit goes on anymore. Their conscience has been seared. Church, I've already made up my mind that someday that I will be sitting in jail if I continue to preach the gospel and this world continues to go as it is. Persecution is growing in our world as never before. There is more persecution going all over this world that has ever taken place, more this year than there was last year. People being slain, people being killed in other countries because of their faith in Lord Jesus Christ. And many times we as Christians in America, we sit over here pretty happy and dumb, don't we? Like it's not going on around us. Well, it's going on around us, and I'm telling you, brother and sister, it's coming to America. It's coming to America. They want to shut the voice of the truth down because they don't want to believe the truth. They don't want anybody to believe the truth. And most certainly, they do not want you to preach the truth. Salvation of an individual, the soul of a nation, is saved out of conflict. What's this message about today? Don't be afraid to stand up for Jesus. Don't be afraid to stand up for Jesus. You are the one that is right. They are the one that is wrong. And there are people convinced in America that the Christian is what's wrong in America because of our stance on life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness that is founded in us through not the United States, but through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you today, if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I do not want you to leave this place before you know Him as your Lord and Savior. If you have never accepted Jesus and made that commitment in a heartfelt, committed relationship, I want you to do that before you leave this place today. And right now, if you didn't have an understanding what conflict was before I started preaching this message, all of a sudden, you're being touched and you're being moved by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know what's taking place in your life? There is conflict. Conflict of how you live your life and how God wants you to live your life. How you've chosen the direction of your life and how God wants to choose the direction of your life. That conflict that comes out of that sword of the Word of God has pierced our hearts and pierced our souls. He wants you to come to Him. And if you ever had any doubt about it in your mind, if you don't know Jesus as a Lord and Savior, that conflict that you feel in your heart is the presence of the Holy Spirit drawing you to Him. This is what the church is. It's a place to be healed. It's a place to be saved. It's a place to be set free. And we praise you forevermore, Father. Be with us as we go our separate ways. May your hand be upon our life. And Father, may we never think anything is inconsequential. That, Father, that it would just happen by accident. We are your children. Your hand is upon our life. You're leading. You're guiding. You're directing, Father. And we praise you forevermore. Father, I ask over this fellowship, these blessed people, that you would open the windows of heaven and you would pour out your blessings upon them. And we ask it all today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen. Praise God. Have a great day.